The book of Revelation, chapter number 22, verse number 17. Stand with me, if you will. And I'd like to look this morning, if I can, at God's final words from God's Word. God's final words from His Word. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, help us now, I pray this morning. We stand in need of your help. Lord, would you, Lord, minister grace to the hearer, and Lord, help us as we, in our presentation, to present the truth of the Word of God. May we rightly divide it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and appreciate you being here. Glad to have all of our visitors this morning. Good to see Miss Kay again. Good to see each of you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. God gives some final words on some things. I'm beginning in verse number 17, and we see God's final words concerning the water of life. Now, we've just come back from the Amazon, and water there, water's water everywhere, but not any that you can drink. There's water everywhere, rivers and swamps and you name it, there's water everywhere, but not that you can drink. And so having water, securing water, carrying enough water has been a real thing. It's been a big thing for us, trying to make sure that all that happens. And you'd be surprised how much water a group of 16 people consume when it's temperature, when the feel-like temperature is over 100 degrees. You'd be surprised how much you consume. And I mean, you go through way more than they say you do in the, you know, when you read, well, you need this much. You do go through way more than that. So I don't know where they got their stats from, but I can just tell you, it takes gallons and gallons to keep people hydrated and keep people healthy. And so this comes at a timely time concerning the water of life. Look what the Bible says about this this thing. Look at this invitation, and look at this at the source of this invitation. The Bible says, and the Spirit, and it goes on to say, come, and the Spirit. Now, Spirit's with a capital S. It's interesting that the Spirit doesn't ever talk about Himself. You see these movements that's all about the Spirit and always bragging on the Spirit. There's one problem with that. Christ said the Spirit of God won't brag on Himself. The Spirit of God will brag on the Son. And the Son will brag on the Father. And if you want to see if it's in order or not, watch those things. Watch and see if that's right. And people always, if the emphasis is on the Spirit doesn't want the spotlight on Him. Spirit puts the spotlight on the Son of God. But here, it's interesting. He's penned the entire 66 books of the canon of Scripture. And in the last couple of verses, the Bible says, and the Spirit says, come. Can I say, we know back of this that unless the Spirit of God draw a man, he cannot come. He will not come. It goes against man's nature to admit that he's a sinner. It goes against man's nature to admit that he's wrong. It goes against man's nature to tell on himself. Well, what caused a man to do that, preacher? The Spirit of God dealing in his heart. That's the only way. And I'll say it this way. We believe in whosoever, and I'll cover that in a moment, but we don't believe in whensoever. You better watch that. And you see, somebody said, well, when I'm old and my dying breath, I'm going to call on the Lord. Well, you might and you might not. They might give you more feet and you might be asleep with your final breath. You don't know. And I've seen people draw final breaths. I've seen people curse their way into eternity. They're using God's name, but it wasn't in salvation. I'm just telling you that when the Spirit draws you, that's when you better do business. And so the source of this invitation to the water of life, it comes from the Spirit of God. The Bible says in the Spirit. But look at this. This is what's neat. The Bible says not only from the Spirit, but the Bible says it comes also from the saved. The Bible says the Spirit and the bride say come. Well, praise God, children. That's exactly what we've been doing on this mission trip. That's exactly what missions is about. That's what giving out tracts. That's what witnessing to your neighbors. That's what it's all about. We get the chance, the bride gets the chance to give an invitation like the woman at the well. Come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Come see a man. I was sharing with a lot of the pastors there. I was sharing with a young church, Kenneth's church there in Riba Alta. Riba Alta's the gateway to the Amazon. You cross the Beni River and you're in the Amazon. And Beni is one of the headwaters of it. And these people are young. These people have not been saved long. Got a good crowd, but they're young. They're young in the Lord. And I shared with them, I said, you know, you might not, a lot of them can't even read well. You might not be able to read that well. You might not be able to, you might not know all the details about this new salvation that you've found. But there's something that each of you have that's uniquely yours. And that is your testimony. You see, you can tell what God did for you without any outside help. You can tell God, you can tell your neighbors, you can tell your friends, you can tell those around you what God did for you. And you can tell them in your language, in your custom, in all of those things, in your culture, a cultural setting, you can tell them what God did for you. And that would take a missionary years to learn that. To speak with your dialect, to speak with your accent, and to speak culturally where they could understand what we were talking about. But you have that opportunity to do that right now. And that was my jumping off place as I preach missions. And so the Spirit of God says come, but can I say the saved of God say come? Hallelujah. Come to the water, amen. The water's wonderful. Come to the water. Come to the fountain. Hallelujah. So there's the source of the invitation. But then look at the subjects invited to the invitation to the water of life. The subjects invited to the water of life. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, the person who listens says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. You know what hearing the word of God will do? It'll make you want to share it with somebody. Hearing the word of God and not sharing it, that goes against the grain. It's like catching the big fish, guys, and not being able to tell nobody. It's like shooting the big buck and not being able to tell nobody. It's like the hole in one and you're not being able to tell nobody. Oh, no, when you hear that your sins are forgiven, as far as the east is from the west, and the sea of forgiveness behind God's back forever and ever, hallelujah, that's something to tell, isn't it? Let him that heareth tell. So the person that listens says come. But the Bible says, and let him that is athirst come. So the person who's lacking may come. Let him come, he says. That's athirst. Let him come. But I want to say this. As simple as that word is, come. Those who don't heed the word come, and there's multiple invitations here to come. But let me say it this way. There's that word come that's given out that you're invited to come. But there's going to be a word for those who choose not to come. And it's the most dreaded word in the Bible. And Christ uttered it when he said depart. Depart. Can I tell you hell's going to be hell because that you're going to depart from the presence of God forever. It'd be more than that, but I'm just saying that alone would be terrible. And so there's the source of the invitation, the Spirit and the bride. There's the subjects who are invited. The Bible said those who listens are those who are lacking. And then look at the scope of this invitation. Middle part of verse number 17. The Bible says, and whosoever will. I said a while ago, we believe in a whosoever gospel, but not a whensoever. The Lord has to be dealing with you. You can't just be saved on a whim. God has to deal with you for you to trust Christ because you won't do it. It goes against our nature. The Bible says, whosoever will. Somebody asked me the other day, said, "Preacher, you don't believe in limited atonement?" And I said, "Yeah, I sure do." They said, "Really? You believe in limited atonement?" I said, "Yeah, I believe it's limited by man's free will. And that alone." So let me see if I explain to you what that means. Calvinists believe that limited atonement, only a certain group's going to get saved, or a certain group can be saved. Only a certain group. And they believe that Christ only died for certain people. That's what limited atonement means. Can I tell you, I believe in a whosoever will, and it's limited by your willingness. It's limited by the will of man. And that's the scope of the invitation. It's available to anyone who will come, but it's limited by to those who will not come, and those who will not heed, and those who will not take of the water of life freely. And therefore, that's the only thing that limits it, is the will of man. And I believe that. As I stand here right now, I believe that with my whole heart. And if I thought Christ only died for a handful, and if I believe what a lot of other people are starting to take up and people are changing and this reform movement and all this other stuff that's going on, let me tell you something, friend. I'd go to the house. What's the point? What's the point? If all of that mess, my friend, that's so far from God. And by the way, if you ever get anybody that gets hung up in that, first thing to do is cut missions. Amen. Yes, sir. You get a church, start cutting missions. Franz Carzion got up on Thursday morning. We had Franz in the meeting. Franz from a different board. And he got up and cut loose in Spanish. He scared me. One of his opening statements was, if your church doesn't support missions, you're not a New Testament church. And here's 20-something churches sitting there that don't have a mission program. I said, if I'd have told them that, they'd have tarred and feathered me and rode me out on a rail. But he's one of them. He could get by with it. And they took it. Matter of fact, they took it pretty well. And I was pretty stunned. It was so exciting to get to see churches, their minds open for the first time. I've told you the story about going to Snowbird, Cherokee, and how they believed that mission was something that you get, not something that you give. I got run off. Me and the pastor both got run off after one night of conference. Brother Whittemore's coming to hear me on Tuesday night. I had to call and cancel him because they canceled the meeting and run the preacher off. When they had a business meeting in Cherokee, I knew I was in trouble. And they were speaking the Cherokee language, and I knew that I was in trouble. They didn't want me to know what they were saying. And that's what they believed. And can I tell you, there's a whole lot of people I believe that way, but there's a whole lot of other people that believe that only a handful is going to get in. Only certain ones that Christ died for. Can I tell you that the blood of Christ could save the whole world? Every single solitary sinner could be saved by the grace of God. It is limited only by their will. The Bible says, "And whosoever will." But there's also the scope, not only limited by the will of man, but it's limited. There's a limitless offer. To the water of life. The Bible says, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. Oh, happy day. We went over into Brazil. We went into this place that was making chocolate. They picked the chocolate right there where we were. They picked chocolate in the jungles. It grows there. Coffee and chocolate and all those things grow there. And they had a chocolate waterfall thing running down. And they were making it there. And that chocolate was running down. They had glass across the front of it. And I thought to myself, I've thought about this over at the Golden Corral. They got that Wonderfall where the chocolate thing's at and you stick those marshmallows on that fondue stick in there and coat them. You know, that's a waste of time. I want to just stick my mouth under there and just kind of lap up a little of it. You know what I'm saying? I'd let somebody else have a turn. I just wanted to, it just seemed like a waste to have to dip that stuff and get it like that. Well, can I say hallelujah? You can put your head under the fountain of water of life, hallelujah, and just get all you want, thank God. You can just get all you want. There is no restriction. There is no limit. It's interesting that when we, all over South America, anywhere you want to go, you can take water on the plane, you can take Cokes on the plane, you can take anything you want on the plane. Not a problem. Until you start to fly to America. And in Panama, they took everything we had. They took all our water, all our drinks, everything, and then hemmed us up. There was no restroom and nothing to, couldn't buy nothing to drink to take on the plane with us. And so the flight from Panama to Houston was a thirsty one because we were all dehydrated. But all they give you is that one little old cup, you know, one time on there. And boy, you cherish it, you know, but that's all you got. But you couldn't get anything. And boy, when you get back in, when we got into Houston, we could get all the drinks we wanted, all of the Gatorade we wanted, all the Mountain Dew, somebody say amen right there. All that you wanted, you get all that you wanted. And oh, hallelujah. What I'm saying is, let him take of the water of life freely. You can just get all you want. This is God's final word in verse 17 concerning the water of life. I want you to look with me in verse 18 and verse 19. God's final word of caution about the words of this letter. Now, it's interesting that the word of God, that this passage, the apocalypse opens with a blessing for those that read it, hear it, and keep it. And then it ends with a curse for those who tamper with it. Look what the Bible says in verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Can I say that there is a direct summons? If you hear this book, there's some rules that go with it. If you hear it. Now for those that don't hear it, I don't guess they apply. But if you hear it, now you've got a restriction placed upon you. The Bible says, there's a direct summon. But there's also, in verse number 18, he says this, if any man shall add unto these things. You see the problem? Adding. The Bible says in the latter part of verse 18, God shall add the plagues. And God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So there's the direct summons of the prophecy, but there's also the deception of supplementing this prophecy. Do you understand that when Eve repeated what God had said, do you know that she left out some things? But do you know she also added some things? I don't read anywhere where it said she couldn't touch it. But she told the devil, you can't touch it. Well, when she did touch it, nothing happened. You know what that did? That just opened the door for her to eat it because nothing happened when she touched it. I don't know that there was a restriction against touching it. I don't find it, but that's what she said. But then she took away some things. And so there is the deception of supplementing this prophecy. We were all that far away, and you know who we run into? The Mormons. That far away, we run into the Mormons. And while they'll carry a King James Bible and wear a white shirt and a name tag, you get to talking to them, their authority doesn't come from the King James Bible. It comes from the Book of Mormon. Book of Mormon. And the only thing they know out of the King James Bible is just a verse here and there that tries to prove their perverted doctrine. I want you to understand there's the deception of supplementing the prophecy. But there's also in verse number 19 the danger of subtracting from the prophecy. Look what the Bible says. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, there's the danger of subtraction. If you take away, a whole lot of people today are trying to take away from the Word of God. Now, I want you to understand, the book of this prophecy, he's talking particularly about the Revelation. But the Revelation doesn't end, doesn't come at the back of the book for just happen to be. Doesn't happen. It's not that way. You see, this is God's closing comment concerning the whole Word of God. The modern perversions take away. The perverted preachers take away, explain away, try to do away. In the mega church movement, the modern church movement, they have taken the Old Testament out. They don't even preach out of the Old Testament at all. Matter of fact, they've completely eliminated it. And I mean, they're very limited in their scope what they preach. The Bible says there's the subtraction from the prophecy. There's a seriousness of the punishment. Scripture says God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and the Bible says take away his part out of the holy city. And the Bible says, take away his part from the things that are written in this book. That's the seriousness of this thing, the seriousness of the punishment of subtracting from the Word of God. So we've seen thus far God's final words concerning the water of life, verse 17. God's final caution concerning the words of this letter. But now look with me, if you will, in verse number 20. We see God's final words concluding the word of the Lord. Scripture says, he which testifieth these things. Capital He. He that testifies these things. I want you to understand that we're not talking about somebody who, a third party. We're talking about someone who's been to the cross, someone who is who every step of the way. We're talking about first person. And let me just, who's got a red letter Bible? Is that in red letters? Surely I come. I come quickly. It's in red letters. That's all of it's the word of the Spirit. Everything's the Spirit of God wrote the Bible. But the words of Christ are in red. You understand what I'm talking about? So I'm talking about a specific person here. He which testifieth these things. Look with me not only the specific person, but at the sudden prospect. He says, surely I come quickly. If you look back in this chapter, just in this chapter, in verse number 7, behold, I come quickly. Look in verse number 12, and behold, I come quickly. Look in verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. The Lord is warning us about the sudden prospect of these words. I think I've told this recently. It may have been on the trip. There was a young preacher boy, and it was his first message. And he had worked and worked on it, and he had practiced in front of a mirror, and he was really all wound up, and he was preaching out of this passage. And so he was trying to be very dramatic. But he was as nervous. He's as nervous as he could be as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. He's scared to death, you know. So he read his text, and he come out away from the pulpit. There's a little one of the older ladies sitting on the front row, and he run out there, and his thought was he's going to run down the steps and he's going to make emphasis. And so he run down the steps. He said, surely I come quickly. And he pointed his finger and he forgot his next line. And so he stopped and he walked back up and he looked at his notes again and he thought, I got it this time. And so he did it again. He run down through there and somebody made some kind of motion or something in the back and it distracted him and he forgot it again. And so third time he walked away. Now he's plumb embarrassed, red-faced. And so he looks at his notes and he says, I'm going to try to start over. And so he said, behold, I come quickly. And as he went down the step, his foot caught and he tripped and he landed in that woman's lap. He tripped and fell right in that woman's lap. And he got up and he said, I'm so sorry. He's on mic, you know. And he said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She said, no, it's not your fault. He said, you warned me three times you was coming. I should have moved. Behold, I come quickly. It was sure. Surely, the Bible says. And the surely is the same thought as truly, I come quickly. And then the Bible says, not only was it sure, but it was sanctioned. Amen. And the scripture says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. By the way, that's a good response anytime somebody talks about the coming of the Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. What is it that we pray in the model prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Is that what we pray? That ought to be our regular prayer. Lord, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I thought about as I was getting on that airplane, we was facing 24 hours of travel. Time we got into bed, it was about 26 hours without sleep, you know, and all the miles, 4,000 miles of air travel. I don't know how many airplanes and trips and jumps and hops and all those things. And I thought to myself, Lord, if you're coming here soon, it sure would be good to be raptured from Bolivia. Save me having to ride this airplane all the way back to the house and then get raptured. I'd just meet Doris and Aaron. We'd be together. Lord, if you're coming, if you got it scheduled anytime soon, Lord, if you just go ahead and make it happen, that'd be awesome, you know. Save me from this. My goodness. That's one of the things I wish the future had been able to do. It's like Star Trek. Just say, beam me up, Scotty, and you go from one place to the other. That's going to happen, by the way. In our new bodies, we'll be able to do that. But until then, traveling. They call it coach. It's traveling cramped is what it is. Traveling cramped. But there's this specific person. In this conclusion, there's the specific person, he that testifieth. There's the sudden prospect. Surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But then there is the saints' provision in this. And this is what's exciting. The Lord's talking about his last days, talking about the coming of the Lord, talking about all these things. And then the Lord said this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Well, I'm glad God gave some provision for the last days. I'm glad he didn't leave us comfortless. I'm glad he's still pouring out his spirit. I'm glad God's still doing some things. Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm excited about the prospects. Somebody said, well, preacher, here it's, you know, former presidents in jail and all these things, and it's just going, yeah, but listen to me. It's going to be all right. It's got to get worse before it gets better. I'm not talking about politically. I'm talking about it's going to be all right in the long run. When a woman's expecting, when she finds out that she's expecting, before she holds that baby in her arm, there's a lot of hardship. There's a lot of things. I mean, a lot of things. And right there at the end, it gets real bad. And for you expecting fathers, what is said in the birthing room stays in the birthing room, okay? She may question your lineage. She may accuse you of this is all your fault. She may say things that's completely out of character. Amen. That's okay. Because it's got to get worse before it gets better. It's just the way it is. Well, can I say it as same it is with the coming of the Lord? Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus likened it unto birth pains. And if you know anything about birth pains get harder. Birth pains get closer and their intensity gets greater. And as this whole world begins to convulse, it ain't going to get better, folks. It's going to get worse. So we better get what we're going to get done while we can. Because the Bible says the day cometh when no man worketh. We better get what we're going to get done. And then, I'm finished. I want you to look not only the God's final words concerning the water life, verse 17, God's final word of caution about the words of this letter, verse 18 and 19, and then God's final words concluding the word of the Lord in verse number 20. But I'm interested in that last word, what is said. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And then he says, amen. Amen. When man says amen, this is what it says. When a human's strongest endorsement is an amen. When you say amen to something, you are saying, let it be so. That's the strongest term of endorsement that a human can offer. Let it be so. But that's as far as we can take it. But when heaven says amen, heaven's strongest endorsement is amen, but it don't mean let it be so. It means it shall be so. It ain't could be. It ain't might be, it's going to be.
Amen.
When God amens himself, it shall be so. And it don't matter who don't like it. It don't matter who don't believe it. Don't change one thing. When God amends himself, it shall be so. And can I tell you, it's going to be so. In very, very soon, we're going to see the King.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's get as much accomplished before he gets here as we can. Let's bow our heads together.